The One Mission story began in 1901 when two telegraph operators, Charles Kalman and Ernest Kilborn, moved from Chicago to Japan to work alongside Japanese evangelist Juji Nakata. Together, their vision was to share the good news of Jesus Christ with every person in every community of that island nation, forming what is now known as One Mission Society. Today, more than 110 years later, the One Mission continues in more than 70 countries and 45 languages, using the tools of evangelism, leadership training, establishing churches and partnerships to take the gospel of Christ to the nations. Though the names have changed, our One Mission remains the same, with one Lord, one life, and one calling. These are One Mission Society's One Mission Stories, with your host, Jason Campbell.
Welcome to a very special edition of One Mission Stories. Hi, I'm your host, Jason Campbell, and today we're going to share with you an interview which we recorded back in September 2014 with 99-year-old businessman Stanley Tam. The interview took place in his woodworking shop in Lima, Ohio. Accompanying me for the interview was Men for Missions Executive Director Warren Hartig, a longtime friend of Stanley. Stanley's life has been chronicled in the book God Owns My Business, and he authored three other books, including God's Woodshed, Stanley Tam's Incredible Adventures with God, and Every Christian a Soul Winner. They've even made two movies about his life story. This interview is one that I know we wanted for both historical and faith-stretching reasons. However, we were unsure how the interview would play out, because Stanley had had a stroke several years ago, and while he is doing better, he does tire easily. I am thankful that Stanley took the time to share with us his story, even though you'll quickly notice it doesn't follow our normal programming format. So, as we anticipate his 100th birthday this September of 2015, One Mission Stories is pleased to share with you our interview with longtime OMS friend and supporter, Stanley Tam. So, Stanley, here we are in your woodworking shop off of I-75 to hear your story. As I look around your office, I want to give our listeners an idea of what we're seeing. Over in the corner is a picture of Jesus and you as a younger man. There are different curios and other interesting objects from around the world. And having recently read your book, I know that God has used you and U.S. Plastics Corporation to make a big impact worldwide, and we'll get to that later in our program. So, Stanley, I understand you had a milestone birthday. Would you share with us what mile marker you've reached as of 2014?
99 years old.
99 years young, right? Well, Stanley, thank you so much for allowing Warren and myself to record your story so that we can share it with our listeners. So my first question is, how long have you known the Lord?
I was converted when I was 18 years old. I was raised on a farm. Mm-hmm. And one night when I went down to get the cows, the moon just come out. I looked up, I said, God, I'd like to know you. When I graduated from high school, I was a door-to-door salesman. I covered the farms. And I knocked at this door, and a lady said, come right on in. Most ladies said, I'm not interested.
Right. Slam the door. Don't even give me a chance to.
Don't give me a chance to say anything. But this lady, she opened the door, said, come right on in. And she was so good to me as I tried to sell her something. And then we had a conversation. And I said to her, why don't you have an MRA sticker on your front door, like most people have? This was during the war. She said, it's too much like the tribulation in the Bible. And she went into the Bible. We talked for 2 hours, and she got me under conviction. I suppose just the time that she would ask me to accept Christ, a carload of company came in, so I left. But I was under conviction. For 6 weeks, I went to church with my cousin Bud, and I wanted to get saved. I said to my cousin Bud, I said, I can't stand this anymore. I'm so under conviction. I got to get saved tonight. I want you to sit with me, and we'll sit on the aisle. And you give me a shove when the pastor gives the invitation.
So you gave him permission to shove you out into the aisle.
Yeah. I figured I could go the rest of the way. Then I got scared that he'd do that.
Well, you did give him permission.
Yeah. So I beat it up the front of the church. And I knelt at the pastor's feet. I didn't know what that word was. He led me down to the altar. But that night I got saved. I was 18 years old. Then I got into business for myself with silver collectors, reclaiming silver from the photographers.
Okay. Well, photography was very big back in those days. I know back in high school I did a science project on how film was developed, and they were using a little bit of silver back then, not as much as they did back in your time. So you were a door-to-door salesperson. You came to Christ. What stopped you from being a door-to-door salesperson?
I didn't make much money there. I went into business with these silver collectors to collect silver from photographic film. And the photographers were skeptic. They said, we bought these before. Then nobody came to collect the silver. And they give me a hard time. But I kept going. Furthest west I went was Denver, Colorado.
That's quite a distance from Ohio.
Yes, it is. But after a few years, we got up to 13 tons of silver in 1 year. That's a lot of silver.
That's a lot of silver.
Yes. But then in 1980, they quit putting silver in photographic film. And I just was going into plastic business at that time. But that was God's will, because the potential wasn't really there. And silver in plastic, sky's the limit. We do about 60 million a year in plastic.
Wow.
And the best we ever did in silver was $800,000 a year. So that's our goal, is to grow plastic.
Well, from reading your book, you said that when you were a youngster and a teenager, you liked to look at the back of magazines and were always ordering those different things. I think a lot of people can relate to that, because we all want that get-rich-quick scheme, trying to figure out how we're going to be able to live the American dream. And from my understanding, and correct me if I'm wrong, that was what you were aiming for at that time, correct?
To be rich?
To be rich.
With the silver collectors, I was making $3 a day. And I was spending it to live on. A dollar for gasoline. You could get 8 gallons for a dollar. Mm-hmm. It was a chain of motels, $1 a night. So I spent $1 there. And then you could get a vegetable plate in a restaurant for 50 cents. And so for 3 years, I traveled like that, making about $3 a day on average. But then I met my wife in Rockford, Illinois, and my sales doubled. I decided to marry her.
Okay.
And we were married for 67 years.
Congratulations.
And she was a wonderful wife.
And her name was?
Juanita.
Juanita.
Stanley, one of the things that I remember about your testimony was that when you were in the silver business and you were in Rockford with Juanita's family, one, I think it was Thanksgiving or maybe Christmas, everyone went to bed, but you said, I'd like to stay up. I'd like to just talk to the Lord to see, you'll make sure everything's okay, everything's clear. And you did, and God said, you've got some money that's not yours. You remember that?
Yeah.
And then you begin to write checks. And then the one fellow I remember said, this guy is so honest, and he gave you a whole lot more business. That story has always stuck with me, but the one thing that you said that really impacted me was, you said, I'm going to make sure that everything's okay with the Lord. You stayed alone and prayed to God. He spoke to you. You responded. and your business doubled just simply because of obedience and people saw what an honest businessman you are.
Yes. I said, Lord, this is the end of the year. This is a good year to take inventory. Yes. I said, is there anything in my business that's contrary to your will? And the Lord said, yes. You got $3,000, well, $4,000 that doesn't belong to you. I said, well, it's better to come out at the end of the year better than to be behind. The Lord said, you still got the $4,000 that doesn't belong to you. I disobeyed the Lord one time, and it's like cutting the power off in your life.
Yeah.
And I wasn't going to do that. So I said, I'll make it right. I hired a girl. She worked 6 weeks on this problem. And we had checks all written. And, well, the Lord said, tell them why that you're giving them this refund. So we told them that God was our senior partner and that he spoke to me to make this refund. I said, since we told about God, they will not respond to this. But we got letters from Eastman Kodak Company, letters from a sister in Loganport, Indiana, a Catholic hospital, wrote me and said, we don't use your silver collectors to make money. From the silver, we use your silver collectors because you put a track in there. And we all read that track. I was in Michigan. I had a looking at how we could build a better silver collector. And I went up there to see how they were coming. I saw a business that I didn't have silver collectors in. And I went in and I had samples and I pleaded with them to put silver collectors in their photo finishing plant. And the fellow looked at me and he said, well, we should do this, but you're really not the company we want to do business with. We want to do business with a company in Ohio that has God as their senior partner, and we want to do business with them. I pulled out my New Testament. I said, we're the company. Well, he said, okay, we'll use your silver collectors. I went down the street to a company that was using our silver collectors, and that fellow said, you know, we had an experience when you wrote to us with that refund. I waited till my general manager came in, and I showed the letter to him. He was against us using the silver collectors. He said, well, if that company will make a refund, that changes everything. That's an honest company. I'll use your silver collectors. I went down to our camera shop in Lima here, where they sell cameras on a business. And he came out with a check. He said, I want to give this check back to you. I said, you keep it, I said. Salesmen across the country, about the first thing they asked me, what kind of a company have you got here at Lima that gave a refund? And we like to know what company that is. He said, I want to give this check back to you. I said, well, keep it. I said, we sent out a couple thousand of them. I said, it's yours. Well, okay, he said, thank you.
Yeah.
It was for $7.
Well, Stanley, let's take a short break to give you a chance to rest. And when we return, we'd like to hear more of the story of how you made a life-changing business decision that's affected all of us around the world. All that and more when One Mission Stories continues with our special guest, Stanley Tam.
You're listening to One Mission Stories on Freedom 95. For more information on how you can make a difference through giving, go to onemissionsociety.org/radio. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to One Mission Society's world headquarters in Greenwood, Indiana. The final stop for our global missionary warriors before they begin their ultimate assignment.
You know, Chase, we've been with our missionary warriors since the application process, and we've seen them overcome some overwhelming obstacles.
That's right, Bob. In fact, Nell is on the field right now with our newest missionary warrior.
Thanks, guys. I'm here talking with Kent.
Hi, Mom.
Former farmer turned missionary. So what's been the hardest challenge so far?
I really thought raising funds would be the toughest obstacle, but God was in our corner.
It seems like the enemy is trying to keep you from completing the One Mission. I mean, I have to ask, is your family nervous about the recent security threats?
It always comes back to God going before us and trusting Him to keep us safe.
Well, you certainly have energetic supporters cheering you on.
Woohoo! Thanks, guys!
Back to you, guys.
Coming up next, we take a look back at the first OMS missionary warrior, Charles Kalman.
And you be sure to visit onemissionsociety.org to help complete the One Mission and find out how you can become the next global missionary warrior.
You're listening to a special edition of One Mission Stories. I'm Jason Campbell, your host. Today we're talking to Stanley Tam, a businessman who God has used to make a difference all around the world. Now, Stanley, before the break, you were telling us about how that you turned 99 as of 2014, and you were giving us an idea of how God told you to do something that was really important, and that was not keep the money at the end of the business year, but to give it back to your customers because it didn't belong to you. So let's pick up our story there.
In 1940, I made God my senior partner. I appreciated Him making this business succeed. I went to an attorney, and I said to him, I want to make God my senior partner. Well, he said, that's impossible. God? Who is God? He said, that's a good idea you have, but I couldn't make God your senior partner. He said, why don't you go and take it over for 3 months? Then if you want to come back, we'll have another talk. Well, I left his office and went to another attorney who said exactly the same thing. I said, I'm going to stay here until you do something about this. Finally, he said, I hung around. He said, well, we'll incorporate your business, and we'll establish a nonprofit religious foundation, and you can support missionaries through this foundation. So I said, okay. So he made God my senior partner. Then, but then I went to South America. In South America, we had a meeting in Medellin, Colombia. A lot of people came to the altar. But there was one lady that came to the altar that was the main person. She said, this man has opened up a room in my house that nobody else has been able to open up. It's a room of hatred. My husband is living with another lady, and my heart is full of hatred. I'm going to kill her. And I had it all planned. But this man tonight, he opened up this room of hatred in my life, and God told me I should deal with it. She came up to the OMS headquarters the next day, and she had three slides. She said, people have been trying to buy these from me, but I refused to sell them, but I'm going to give them to you. Her husband was a general in the Colombia Army. He worked to kill Christians. That's what these slides were. this was a house, and she said they're full of Christians. And he set fire to the house and wouldn't let anybody out. They was burning them up. And the next slide was a coffin laying out in the front yard of all these people that were burned to death. And I forgot what the third one was for. But she gave them to me, and I got them. God said, in this meeting, I want all your business. I said, you've got all half of it. Isn't that enough? He said, I want all of it. I want you to give all of it to me. So when we returned from that trip, I went back to this attorney that made God my senior partner, where we gave 51% to the Lord, and we turned over 100%, and then went on salary. God worked a lot of miracles in my life. We outgrew our building. I had $600,000 in the bank. So we started this building on Interstate 75, and we got about half built and ran out of money. But something happened right at that time. A rich man in Texas, with the help of another man, he was trying to corner the silver market. And he drove silver from 35 cents an ounce to $60. $60, and we had a good supply of silver. We sold it for $3 million and finished building those buildings. I wrote this man a letter. I said, thank you for building my buildings for me. He wrote back. He said, I'm glad something good came out of it, because he got in trouble with the United States government for a reason, for trying to corner the silver market.
Now, your building along 75 U.S. Plastic Corporation has a big, not only the name of the company, but it has another big sign on the front. What's the other thing written there?
Oh, Christ is the answer. We had that sign on another building we were in for 28 years.
Yeah.
And now this one, we've had it for 40 years now. The business is about 70 years old. But we've had people converted through that side. One day a man jumped a fence. He was a truck driver. He jumped a fence, come in and use our telephone. And I happened to walk through the lobby just at the right time to meet him. I said, what happened to your truck? He said, I broke a crankshaft, and the wrecker can't come for 2 hours because he's on another job. I said, did you see my sign out front? Yeah, I read it. I said, would you like to talk about it? Well, he said, I got 2 hours to talk about it. So back at my office, he got down on his knees and accepted the Lord. When he got up, he said, my wife was a born-again Christian. And a friend of mine 2 weeks ago sent me down in a chair. He pleaded with me to give my life to Christ, but I turned him down. I said, yeah, you got a good testimony. He lived in Knoxville, Tennessee. I said, here you are running from God. But 400 miles north of I-75, your truck breaks down in front of the sign, Christ is the answer. We've had a lot of decisions through that sign.
It's amazing how one decision that we make to follow God in obedience can change the course of our lives and make a difference in the lives of others. By giving God full control of the business, people must have thought you were crazy. They probably even made fun of you. But as a result of your obedience to God more than 70 years ago, God has used you and the Stanita Foundation to do immeasurable things all around the world. What an amazing God we have to be able to do that. Well, this would be a good time for us to take a break, so when we return, we're going to hear more about the life of Stanley Tam and his connections with One Mission Society. You're listening to One Mission Stories. Today we're talking to Stanley Tam. We also have here Warren Hartig as well. And I'm Jason Campbell, so make sure you stick around because there's even more One Mission Stories on the other side of the break when we return.
You're listening to One Mission Stories on Freedom 95. You can help us complete the One Mission through your prayers. For more information, go to onemissionsociety.org/radio. We'll be right back.
Okay, see you soon, brother.
Was that Pierre from church?
No, it was Pierre, the village witch doctor.
But you called him brother.
You're not going to believe this. You remember how God put it on my heart to give him a solar radio during the village campaign?
Sure. He said he would only listen to the sports report on 4VEH.
Well, he accidentally left the radio turned on and heard the good news. Now he wants to become a follower of Jesus.
Wait, isn't this the same man who set up a voodoo altar in front of our church?
The same one, and he wants me to help him burn all of his voodoo things and become a follower of the living God.
Mes amis, it's like the Bible story of Saul becoming Paul all over again, but in our village because of Radio 4VEH.
Perhaps other witch doctors will hear of Pierre's decision.
Let's pray that God will use him to bring more people to Jesus.
You can help share the good news in Haiti through Radio 4VEH. A ministry of One Mission Society. For more information, visit radio4veh.org. Welcome back to a special edition of One Mission Stories. I'm your host, Jason Campbell. Today we're hearing the story of Stanley Tam, a businessman who made God his senior partner and has used the Stanita Foundation to help fund mission work all around the world. With me is also Warren Hartig, along with Stanley Tam, our special guest. Now, before the break, Stanley was sharing with us about his first trip overseas and how God used it to open his eyes and his heart to the need for world missions. Now, recently, OMS missionary Bill Odin shared with us in chapel part of Stanley's story from the perspective of Dwight Ferguson, the founder of OMS's Men for Missions. Here's a part of the Stanley Tam story.
His last crusade he had scheduled was in Lima, Ohio. This is Dwight now. And there he met Stanley Tam, and was very impressed by his commitment. Later on, he agreed to take this world trip for months, and he had gotten Byron Christ and his wife, that's J.B. Krause's mom and dad, to do the music, and then he was so impressed with Stanley Tam, he thought, we need a layman to give a testimony, and he began to, quote, bug Stanley to go, and he kept saying, no, no, no. But finally, he changed and said, okay, what do I need to do? Passport and so forth, and I go. And as many of you know, the first night they were there, they got an overseas call that Dwight's son had been killed in a hunting accident. And so he went back for the funeral, and they said to Stanley, you do the speaking. And he hadn't done that much. And the first night was, I guess, kind of a fiasco. But anyway, he kept going, and God began to use him, and great things happened. And he came back a different man, and he began his emphasis and soul winning, speaking. Then he gave his 51% of his business to the Lord, and as you know, ultimately gave it all to the Lord. But the more important thing is that he became a great soul winner, both to train and to do, reaching people for himself. Now, at the 1954 Winona Lake OMS conference, and some of you old-timers probably were at some of those have been to Winona Lake, Ferguson stood up in the meeting of a bunch of prayer circle ladies in Eskimo Inn. Any of you remember Eskimo Inn? And he said, it's time we start a layman's missionary movement in the OMS. He told them that if anybody was interested, they would meet across the street by a tree and organize a group of men interested in missions. Shock squelched the routine Russell breakfast conversation and prayer request, and in the silence, and I can only imagine what it was like, chairs began to scrape back from their tables. Intrigued men, one by one, followed Dwight Ferguson out of the restaurant door into the sunshine across the street to the tree. to participate in the birth of men for missions. Remember, we just had 60th anniversary, and this was in 60 years ago, obviously. And Stanley Tam was one of those men and became very active. But both of these men had a great heart for evangelism, and they continued to emphasize that in this. Teams went overseas. They were not just to work, but they were to witness. And God has used them in a wonderful way. So I thank God for men like Dwight Ferguson and Stanley Tam.
Thanks, Bill. There's no doubt that God has used the life and resources of Stanley Tam throughout the world of OMS, not only to be one of the founding partners of Men for Missions, but also to help restart OMS work that had run out of funding, which we'll hear about in a bit. So Stanley, I want to go back to the forming of your foundation. You see, in today's society, it's very common for people to combine their first names together, such as when celebrities do that. But you were doing it before it was even considered cool. By taking your name and your wife Juanita's name, you created the Stanita Foundation. So my question is, how have you seen God use the Stanita Foundation over the years?
Well, the company now belongs to God.
Yes.
So the profit of the business goes into his work. And in 1952, with Dwight Ferguson, I went around the world with him. And when we got to Japan, we were introduced to the Every Creature Crusade. And we ate with them. We slept with them. We watched them work. It was the most important thing I saw on that trip around the world, because I was a soul winner. And I was impressed with what the OMS was doing.
And Stanley, just to clarify, what you call Every Creature Crusade is now known as the Ministry of Every Community for Christ.
They had seven teams. They had completed every home in Japan, and now they were doing the second time. But in 1968, they ran out of money, and they stopped it. I was moved by that. I went to Dr. Ernie. I said, if I could trust God for $50,000 a year, would you start the Every Creature Crusade up again? And he said he would. And so we took on the financial backing of Every Creature Crusade. At that time, they were in Korea and Japan. But now we're in over 46 countries.
And today, OMS is in more than 70 countries around the world.
Well, it's grown so fast that I stopped at 46 countries. They were reporting about 15,000 souls won to Christ a year in 1968. But now they reported last year 1,600,000 decisions for Christ.
In fact, it's estimated that one person comes to know Christ every 35 seconds in the world of OMS.
Is that right?
It's just amazing what God is doing.
Well, that's what the business does.
So God has used the business to not only help the people in the business world, but also to help people hear about Jesus all around the world so that they can accept him as their Savior.
Yes.
Stanley, at one time, I heard you, well, several times I've heard you speak, and at one point, you were personally, through your own witness, but telling people one-on-one or speaking to groups or tracts distributed through your business, you were seeing like three people a day come to Christ yourself.
Yes, for 23 years, we saw three souls a day come to know Christ as their Savior on an average. We kept track of the souls that we have influenced to accept Christ as their Savior. We give God all the glory. But we've seen about 40,000 souls come to know Jesus as their Savior.
So Stanley, when you say that God owns your business, you really mean it. It's not just some cool marketing idea that you created to grab people's attention. You literally signed everything over to God.
Yes, nobody owns any of the business.
And one of the things that God put upon your heart was to put Christian literature inside every package that leaves the building.
Yes, we put a gospel tract in every shipment for the last 70 years. Not quite 70 years. Well, around 70 years now. We put a gospel tract in every shipment. And we've seen, on an average, 25 decisions a month from the tracts. We used to see more.
People don't read as much as they used to.
But the world is changing. Since they've taken Christ out of the government, out of business, out of the schools, people are not concerned as they were back before that.
So in reading your book, I learned that even the building has several design elements besides the Christ is the answer written on the side of the building, which gives glory to God.
Yeah, the flags out there with the flags of the nation that where you're supporting.
Right. Out front, there's how many different flags out front of the building?
Well, there's 10 flags. We thought we had enough room to put all the flags up we were in. But you say we're in 70 countries?
All Mass is in more than 70 countries now, yes.
Not enough room for flags.
We don't have enough room for 70 flags either in front of All Mass, so.
Another thing that you've said that I appreciate and I've quoted many times, property is a sacred trust. And you've always treated your property like that, even though it's God's. You've treated your properties, your businesses, as a sacred trust.
Yes. Since God owns the business, it's a sacred trust.
That's right.
How did you first hear about OMS?
Our church invited Dwight Ferguson to come for evangelistic meetings. And I said to my wife, I said, meetings again. We'll come every other time. We have to support the church. And maybe that'll be enough to support the church. But he came and we went to every meeting. Every meeting. And one day I went up to the hotel room to ask him, tell me more about the Holy Spirit. I like to know him better. And we more or less got friendly. He said, Stanley, I'm going to the Orient to preach. Why don't you go with me? Oh, I said, if the Lord wanted me to go, I'd go. But I had no intention to go. But he kept writing me and saying, get this done, and get these shots and so forth. And I wrote him back and I said, I can't go. It seemed like he never got my letters.
Or he chose to ignore them.
So I went to Winona Lake on one occasion to tell him I at the OMS convention, and to tell him I can't go. And he said, all right. If you don't want to go, God will put the blessing on somebody else. And that made me go.
Wow, what a great lesson. God wants to use us, and in the process, he can and often does bless us. This is One Mission Stories. I'm your host, Jason Campbell. Today, we're talking to 99-year-old Stanley Tam, a businessman who turned over his business completely to God. When we return, we'll hear a few more stories from the life of a man whom God is using to change the world when One Mission Stories continues.
You're listening to One Mission Stories on Freedom 95. For more OMS stories, check out OMS Outreach, One Mission Society's triennial magazine, available to download at onemissionsociety.org/radio. We'll be right back.
I wish our train would get here already.
Just relax. It'll be here. Hey, random fact. Did you know that 1 × 1 = 1,000?
What? No way.
Really, it does.
Okay, prove it.
It's based on T&M's principles of multiplication.
All right, I'll bite. But what's T&M?
Train and multiply. It's a method that One Mission Society uses to multiply disciples, leaders, and churches.
But I still don't understand how 1 × 1 can equal 1,000.
It's like this. Train and Multiply mobilizes people to plant churches, and those churches plant churches that plant even more churches.
So one church really can become 1,000. But it's only in English, right?
Actually, Train and Multiply is now available in 40 languages, and it's being used around the world.
All aboard!
To learn more about Train and Multiply, visit www.oms.training.
Welcome back to a special edition of One Mission Stories. I'm your host, Jason Campbell. Today we're hearing the stories of 99-year-old Stanley Tam, a businessman who legally made God a senior business partner more than 70 years ago. So, Stanley, the question is, how did you make the change from collecting silver to plastics?
Well, we used these silver collectors, but they weren't getting all the silver. And so we invented an electric silver collector. And we had to have plastic tanks to go with the silver collector. And stainless steel was out of the question, because they were so expensive. The first plastic tanks were made in Wilmington, Delaware, and we heard about them. So we contacted this company, and it made possible for us to buy these plastic tanks. So every electric silver collector we sold, we had to have a 5-gallon tank, a 15-gallon, a 30, and a 55-gallon. Depends on which one they would buy. And then our customers wrote it to us and said, you know, these plastic tanks, just what we need to store chemicals in. We got your silver collector, but we just sell us extra tanks. And so we began to sell tanks. We sold them by the hundreds. Then they said, we need a valve on them. We need plastic tubing. We need other things. We scudged around and bought these products and sold them to our customers. And then we figured if they would buy plastic tanks, they'd buy other things. So we put pumps in the catalog. Now we got 30,000 items that we sell to the plastic company. And it does about $60 million a year.
So before this, you and your wife Juanita were traveling around for the business. You had a vehicle and a trailer?
Yeah, we had a trailer.
But eventually you stopped traveling around because of the cost, and your wife came up with an amazing idea. Can you share with us about that?
Well, we were traveling together, selling our silver collectors and picking up silver. And silver at that time was 35 cents an ounce. It dropped, it was 45, but it dropped to 35 cents. And I said to Juanita, we could travel and pick up silver for 35 cents an ounce. She said, why don't you write to our customers and tell them we're not going to pick them up anymore. We'll ask you to mail them in. And so we contacted our customers and told them to mail them in. Our business tripled about 4 times. It was a good idea. And then we heard that there was a company in Chicago that told companies how to make more money, how to become more efficient. So we wrote this company, got their information, and we invited one of the men to come and investigate our company, tell us how to make more money. And out of that came the catalog. Before that, we didn't have a catalog. We just had a leaflets. But we put our products in a catalog and mailed them to our customers. That produced better sales.
And you took the pictures yourself, didn't you? When the catalog started, you took the pictures and for the catalog.
Okay, what was that?
We got a stone quarry in the back.
I'll tell you that, or a big train hit the building.
Yeah, it's kind of, whoa, what's coming in?
Stone quarry, the explosions.
Yeah. Everybody be under your desk here.
I don't pay attention to them.
Now, Stanley, in reading through your book, God Owns My Business, in chapter 20, you talk about a difficult time that you went through when you were given a 2-year timetable left to live. That was back when you were in your 50s, and here we are 49 years later, and you're still around. Can you tell us about that?
I was speaking in Washington, D.C., and then I was to go to Canada to speak there. I noticed I was passing blood, but I kept on going. I got to Nebraska speaking for a Christian Women's Convention. I was feeling so bad that I went to bed between speaking engagements. I called my wife, told her I was feeling bad. She said, "Stanley, I'm going to have a doctor appointment for you when you come home." When I come back, I went to this doctor, and he gave me a complete examination. And then he turned to me and said, "Mr. Tammy, you got cancer in 3 parts of your body." He said, "You got 2 years to live." He put me in the hospital. So when my friends left that night, I started praying. 12 o'clock came. I was praying. I quoted all the scripture I knew, but none of them seemed to cling. I said, "All right." I said, "God, I have 2 more years to live. Make me the best soul winner I possibly can be." When the Lord said, "Why don't you take your life first?" I said, "What?" Yeah, he said, "Take your life first." My life verse was John 15:16. "You've not chosen me, but I've chosen you. I've ordained you that you may go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit shall remain, that whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, I will give it to you." "Why don't you take the last part of that verse?" I said, "All right." And then I went to sleep. Next morning, about 5 o'clock, they loaded me up in a jersey. Took me in and operated on me. They took 18 biopsies. They said, "We'll give you a report on Saturday." Saturday was my wife's birthday. My wife was crying. She said, "This is the worst birthday I've ever had." But while I was there in the hospital on Saturday, the doctor came in with a smile. He said, "I got news for you, Mr. Tam. We took 18 biopsies, couldn't find any cancer." I took that doctor in my arms. I kissed him. I said, "Doctor, this is wonderful news." To put the frosting on the cake, about 2 weeks later, I got a letter from a missionary in the Philippine Islands. "Mr. Tam, what happened to you on a certain day?" She said, "The Lord laid my heart on you. I prayed. I've never had an experience like this before. I was forced to get up." This happened at 3 o'clock in the morning. "I was forced to get out of bed. I got down on my knees. I prayed for you. When all at once the burden lifted, I got in bed, went back to sleep. But that was the most unusual experience I've had in prayer."
And once again, obedience, where you did what God told you to do, and He blessed you as a result.
I left the hospital.
Yeah,
praise went the back to work.
Well, Stanley, thank you so much for sharing your story with us today on One Mission Stories. Before we go, I'd like to pray with you. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your servant Stanley Tam and how you've used his life and business to bless the world. May you continue to use him and his story to point people in your direction. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thanks again, Stanley, and happy 100th birthday. And just to clarify, OMS's ECC, which used to be Every Creature Crusade, today is known as Every Community for Christ. And with that, we come to the end of One Mission Stories. Be sure to visit our After the Show blog filled with photos, links, programming notes, and more about what we discussed on today's broadcast. Also, remember you can listen to One Mission Stories anytime, day or night, when you visit the One Mission Stories podcast library. There you can find every episode of One Mission Stories from the beginning when you visit the One Mission Society media site at oms.media. As always, we'd love to hear from you, so why not take the time and write to us by sending us a letter or a postcard by writing to One Mission Stories, P.O. Box A, Greenwood, Indiana, 46142, or call us during normal business hours at 317-888-3333. You can also send an email to radio@onemissionsociety.org. And when you contact us, be sure to share with us how God is using One Mission Stories to help you grow your missionary heart. We want to thank our friends and partners at Freedom 95 for their cooperation and support in helping make One Mission Stories possible. We also want to thank you, our loyal listeners, for joining us each week on One Mission Stories. And I personally want to say thanks for allowing us to share our stories with you each week on One Mission Stories. Today you've heard the stories of Stanley Tam, and you can read his book, God Owns My Business, which is available from our One Mission Society Amazon.com web store. And I'm Jason Campbell, reminding you that everyone, and yes, I do mean everyone, has a story. Make sure you take the time to share yours.
You've been listening to One Mission Stories on Freedom 95. One Mission Stories is produced in Greenwood, Indiana, at the studios of One Mission Society. Your production engineer was Ben Tabor. Your host was Jason Campbell. And I'm your announcer, Randy Spade. I invite you to join us next time for more One Mission Stories.